Good morning, Community Church. You can open your Bibles. So if you have your little notebook and you're taking notes at all, I have a few things for you. You might want to, you can take some notes on. And I'm going to give you a few of these right here at the beginning. Get your Bibles open. All right. These are some theological themes within just these five verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be adding verse 9 in there from last week. Because as that verse kind of closed out last week's message, it kind of lays the groundwork as we continue on with this week's message. So some theological themes, Christology, Christ alone is the foundation. You can take these and you can maybe add them where they're at in the verses as you go through and take notes. Ecclesiology, the church is God's building. Eschatology, a future day of testing and reward is coming. Sanctification, believers are called to faithful, holy labor. Judgment theology, believers face evaluation, not condemnation. And soteriology, salvation rests on Christ, not performance. Those are some theological themes that you can see just within these five verses. And a one-sentence summary I want to give you. This is kind of the key part to the whole section here. It teaches that Christ alone is the foundation of the church, and every believer's work will be tested by God's holy judgment. And eternal rewards depend on the spiritual quality and faithfulness of what is built upon Him. So I'm going to read, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to dig into this. Starting in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by a fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Heavenly Father, as we move through this today, Father, and just break this down, Father, I ask that you first have me out of the way, Father, that your word is preached and teached, and Father, that you open the eyes of the hearts of all those who hear. Father, that the place is filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first we're going to start with a question. What are you building your life with? Because whether you realize it or not, you are all building something. All of us are. Every day, every conversation, every action, every decision, priority, all of our habits, every hidden thought and every sacrifice, every compromise, you are laying a brick and another brick and another brick. Some are building careers and some are building reputations, building comfort, building kingdoms for themselves. But Paul pulls back the curtain here in 1 Corinthians 3 and says, this life is not a random construction. It is eternal construction. And one day God Himself will inspect the building. And Paul is speaking in Corinthians to a divided church. The Corinthians were obsessed with personalities, their preferences. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. Ever heard anybody say that? I like it better when Jack preaches, when Nick preaches, when Jason preaches. I don't like it when Tony preaches or when Jeff preaches. I didn't want to be alone in that category, Jeff. That's funny, but this kind of thinking leads to division. And it loses the main focus. The main focus is Christ. See, they had become more impressed with men than with Christ. So Paul comes with spiritual correction. In verse 9, it says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. In other words, the church belongs to God. That's you, the church. The ministry belongs to God. Not a trick question. The glory belongs to God. The foundation belongs to Christ. And every believer must answer this question: how are you building? Because your life is under construction, and one day it will stand before the fire. In verse 9, you are God's building. Notice Paul does not say you are your own building. No, you belong to God. Your church belongs to God. Your gifts belong to God. Your life belongs to God. Your future belongs to God. And this takes away pride immediately, completely destroys it. Because it isn't I. It isn't you. It's God. It belongs to Him. The people in Corinth were treating the church like a fan club. Today, we like to treat it like a country club. And you're missing the whole point. Ministers are workers. God is the owner. Paul plants, Apollos waters. We read that last week. Who gives the increase? God. That means no preacher deserves worship, no denomination deserves ultimate allegiance, and no personality deserves the spotlight that Christ alone deserves. The church is not built on charisma. It's not built on branding. It's not built on celebrity Christianity. It is God's building. It's like an employee who starts acting like they own the company. I've had one of these before. They get offended at everything. They panic over everything. And they try to control everything. Why? Because they have taken ownership that they were never meant to carry. And Christians today, many Christians are exhausted because they have forgotten this one truth. You are trying to carry tomorrow outcomes, trying to control everything. Your success, your reputation. When God never told you to be the owner. You are a servant and He is the master. You are the steward and He is the Lord. And once you understand that God owns the building, the next question is, what foundation are you standing on? As we move to verse 10 and 11, Paul says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hear this carefully. Christianity is not built on philosophy. It is not built on ethics. Definitely is not built on politics or your emotions or religious performance. It is built on a person. Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ reigning, Christ returning. And Paul gives no alternative foundation, not one. The foundation is Jesus Christ alone. If Christ is removed, salvation collapses. Hope collapses. The church collapses. Eternities collapse. Everything rests on Him. You can build the nicest house in town, have the most expensive chandelier, the coolest countertops, that big kitchen sink. But if the foundation is cracked and fallen apart, then the entire structure is doomed. And people are doing this spiritually every single day. They build on money, on relationships, on success, feelings, put their trust in politics, comfort and self-image. And it works until life shakes it. The cancer comes, the betrayal comes, death comes, suffering comes, loss. And suddenly you discover what you were really standing on. Storms are revealers. A storm reveals the foundation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, one man built on sand and one man built on rock. Both houses face storms, but only one remains standing. Paul says there is only one eternal rock, and that is Jesus Christ. Paul does not stop there, because having the right foundation is not the whole story. You can stand on the right foundation and you can build carelessly. Verse 12 says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. There's two categories here. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Materials that survive fire. And materials that burn. Wood, hay, and straw. Notice, Paul is not talking about salvation. Paul is talking about something different. The foundation has already settled the salvation. Excuse me. He is talking about the quality of a believer's life and ministry. Not all Christian living carries equal eternal value. Paul destroys the shallow measurements of success. God is not impressed merely by crowds or popularity or applause, appearance or talent. God evaluates your motives, faithfulness, truth, obedience, holiness, love and sacrifice. Some things look massive on earth, and they are spiritually empty. And other things look small, and they echo through eternity. For example, a mother praying over her children every single night. Nobody sees it, but heaven does. A believer staying faithful in suffering, nobody applauds it. We're not standing around applauding them. Heaven records it. A servant cleaning the church quietly, no recognition, zero spotlight. God sees gold where man sees insignificance. Meanwhile, some people spend their entire lives building on that influence and comfort, their image, their ego, temporary pleasures, the wood, the hay, and the straw. These are not necessarily evil things. They're just empty of eternal weight. And church, we are living in a time, a generation obsessed with temporary things. People spend more time preparing for vacation than eternity. People spend more time on a social profile than prayer life, more time protecting their comfort than pursuing holiness. Paul says, take care how you build. Because one day, everything is going into the fire. Verse 13 says, the day will disclose it. If you were here during our Revelation series, there is a day coming. It is not symbolic. It is not imaginary. It is not poetic. It is a real day. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, the day of divine evaluation. And Paul says everything will be revealed by fire. Fire in Scripture represents holiness, testing, purification, and divine judgment. This is not to destroy believers, but to expose realities. And this is a scary thing. Fire does not create truth. The fire reveals truth. The fire does not make wood become straw. It reveals it was straw all along. The fire does not create gold. It reveals the gold that was already there. Eternity does not invent reality. Eternity uncovers reality. On that day, the motives, your motives, will be exposed. That ministry that you started, what was your motive behind that ministry? What was your motive behind the giving? Hidden sins are exposed. False ministry is exposed. But also, genuine devotion is exposed. Secret faithfulness is exposed. Love and a sacrifice is exposed. God sees deeper than man. Man looks at our charisma and our success and influence, and our talents. God looks at truth, holiness, motives, and faithfulness. A building inspector does not care how beautiful everything is. Everything looks in the house. The underneath is rotten and falling apart. The rest of it doesn't matter. God's inspection goes beneath the surface. He sees what nobody else sees. He knows why you served, why you gave, why you preached, why you obeyed, and why you stayed faithful. And that should scare us and comfort us. It should terrify us because nothing is hidden, and comfort us because nothing is forgotten. Every hidden prayer and quiet act of obedience and sacrifice, God will see it all. And on that day leads to two outcomes. So we move into verses 14 and 15. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Scripture repeatedly teaches eternal rewards. Not salvation by works, but rewards by faithfulness. Salvation is a gift. Rewards are the Father's delight in faithfulness, flowing from salvation. God rewards the faithfulness and the endurance and the holiness, the sacrificial love and the steadfast obedience. Nothing done for Christ is wasted. Nothing. The prayer that mattered, that obedience mattered, that hidden faithfulness mattered. Even when nobody noticed, God sees. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Jesus was teaching that there are eternal investments that outlive this world. Everything on earth decays. The money fades, possessions break, accomplishments are forgotten. I talked about this last night with my wife. She's got a whole box of trophies from back in the day, lots of them. And our kids don't care. The earthly applause disappears. But heaven has a reward system that does not lose its value. Every act of obedience done for Christ is stored eternally for God. This means your prayer matters, your sacrifice, your faithfulness, and your perseverance. The world may overlook it, but heaven records it. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Notice Paul's confidence. The confidence is not in himself. The confidence is in God's faithfulness, reward for his endurance. Paul understood this life is not the finish line. This life is preparation for eternity. And the crown imagery throughout Scripture points towards rewards given for faithful service, steadfastness, and perseverance in Christ. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 25, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That is a reward that we should all long for, to hear that on that day. Not earthly applause, not temporary recognition or fame, but hearing the king say, well done. And notice what Jesus praises. Faithfulness. Not how popular you were, how many trophies you got, how many people loved hearing you and the applause, but faithfulness. The servant was rewarded because he was faithful with what the master entrusted him with. Even a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name is remembered by God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42 says, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water will by no means lose his reward. Think about that. Things that we can forget within 5 minutes that we've done. The smallest act done with love for Christ carries eternal significance. None of it is wasted. Not the hidden prayers, or the generosity, or the sacrifice. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Not in vain. Why? Sometimes you feel like your labor for God accomplished nothing. You taught a class, you shared the gospel, you have served faithfully and prayed for years, and it feels invisible at times. As if no one is hearing you and nothing is happening. Heaven keeps a perfect record. Galatians says, do not grow weary in doing good. Why? Because eternity remembers what earth forgets. As we move to the latter part of verse 15, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. This is one of the most sobering verses in the New Testament. Notice, the man is saved. This is not hell. This is not loss of salvation. This is loss of reward. Loss of eternal usefulness. Loss of what could have been. Imagine escaping a burning house with your life, but everything else is gone. That is the picture. Saved, but empty-handed. that should shake us a little bit. To get to heaven and know that everything that I thought that I was doing was burned up. What are my motives? Where's my heart? Who am I serving? You can belong to Christ and still live carelessly. You can be saved and still squander the opportunities. You can know Jesus and still build with straw. And suddenly the question becomes very personal. What am I giving my life to right now? Because eternity will reveal whether it was gold or whether it was straw. We must hear Paul's warning. We live in an age of shallow Christianity. A generation of people that's fascinated with hype, entertainment, influence. God is not building celebrities. He is building saints. Not all large ministries are gold, and not all hidden ministries are straw. But God evaluates differently than man. Some ministries may be built on manipulation and ego and shallow doctrine and emotionalism. One day that fire will speak. But faithful obedience, even the unseen obedience, will survive forever. So the real question is not how big was it. The real question was Christ honored in it. Paul says, let each one take care how he builds. That is the command in this passage. You should underline that or highlight it, circle it. Let each one take care how he builds. Build carefully. Build intentionally. Build eternally. So ask yourself, what am I prioritizing? What consumes my thoughts? What owns my schedule? What shapes the decisions that I make? What am I pouring my life into? Because all of it is construction. You are building a life now, brick by brick, choice by choice, day by day, and one day God will test it. If your life is not built on Christ, everything else will eventually collapse. Your job cannot save you. Money cannot save you. Religion cannot save you. Morality cannot save you. Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone, the rock. He is the foundation. Invest in things that survive the fire. What are these things? Obedience, love, evangelism, faithfulness, discipleship, holiness, prayer, and God's word. We have so many excuses. We come up with so many excuses. We don't have time to read God's word. Does everybody have a cell phone? I think so. It's an app. As I have seen people shop on Amazon during service. We make every excuse that we can of why we don't have time for God, who is supposed to be first. Christ is the foundation. Do not waste your life chasing things that burn. So before you make decisions, ask, will this matter in eternity? That one question can reshape your life. The band can come forward. Church, one day, everything that you have built will pass through the fire. Some of it will remain and some of it will burn. And when that day comes, the only thing that matters is, did you build on Christ? Did you live for eternity? Did you build with what lasts? So how are you building? Because only one life will soon be passed. And only what is done for Christ will last. So what are you building your life with? You'll have the opportunity to respond. And when you think about those questions, about our eternity, our eternities, right? First off, if Christ isn't already your foundation, today is the day for salvation. Give it to Christ. If there are things that you are giving your time to that is not built on Christ, you can come up here today. This up here, there's nothing holy about this. However, there is something that is very moving, that is very powerful about taking that step. And whatever it may be, laying it down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for our salvation. Father, for what you gave for us. Father, that we may live with you in your glory. Father, I ask that we just evaluate our hearts. Father, the Spirit is moved today. In Jesus' name, amen.